This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Are You Well? In this episode of Are You Well, I'm going to explore a very common symptom, which is acid reflux. Many of you might know this abbreviation GERD, G-E-R-D, which literally stands for gastroesophageal reflux disease. Obviously, you know, even before I explain to you what this GERD is and what we can do about it in order to manage it, and possibly also, you know, not to over-medicate, because this can be such a common and disturbing symptom, as it is one of the very common digestive disorders that we come across today. The symptoms can be a burning sensation in the chest, you know, that's why it's called heartburn. And usually this burning sensation is after eating, and it can get worse at night. So in the evening, after dinner, GERD can become really bad. Also sometimes, you know, GERD can manifest as chest pain. Almost many, they think maybe they have an angina or a heart ache, but it is just chest pain because of the referred pain due to acid reflux. There can be difficulty in swallowing, and sometimes even regurgitation of food or even solids or even liquid can happen or occur with GERD. There can be a sensation of a lump in the throat, and when this becomes chronic, then it can be associated with chronic cough. It can also have symptoms of sore throat. And if someone has asthma, then asthma can get worsened because of GERD. Or in some patients, I've seen that actually asthma can develop as a new condition because of GERD. And disturbed sleep because of indigestion and pain and acid reflux. So these are the most common symptoms that we find with GERD or acid reflux. Obviously, in patients that I see at my clinic, it can be much more complex than just the condition of GERD. They may have other stomach infections, commonly Helicobacter pylori, for which they may have been treated with the standard antibiotic treatment many times. You know, if the gut microbial issues, digestive issues, or overall gut health, if they are not managed, then despite the conventional treatment of H. pylori, I've seen patients who again will develop H. pylori. They become vulnerable to these gut infections or stomach infections. And also, when GERD becomes chronic, and if there's been history or past history of H. pylori, then there can be also constipation or even diarrhea or malabsorption, sometimes even solids like from the food or food particles are still seen when one passes stools, and stools which are not well formed. So GERD can become a very problematic condition if it is not managed well. So it's not just about taking over-the-counter antacids. There's absolutely no problem when one takes over-the-counter antacids to deal with symptoms, but just by taking antacids, it is not going to be the reversal or complete solution for GERD. And in fact, inappropriate use of antacids can result in worsening of GERD and other gut conditions. It is very interesting that, you know, if somebody has had GERD for a very long time, often we know that through research that instead of excess acid, it could be a result of a low amount of acid in the stomach. What, you know, in naturopathy is called hypochlorhydria. Hydrochloric acid, you know, which is the acid that's produced in the stomach. If that is not produced in sufficient quantities over a period of time, what happens is because stomach needs that kind of acid to not become affected by bacteria and other infections. And if the acid levels are low, then that becomes an environment where there can be infections. And you can imagine that when there is infection, there is inflammation, then this can actually affect the musculature of the stomach. Stomach is a very muscular organ, as you can imagine, because it has to blend and churn all these solid foods before it is pushed into the small intestine for further digestion. So even low acid can result over a period of time in GERD, where there can be acid reflux or similar symptoms. So in these situations, if someone is still taking over-the-counter antacids, they are actually worsening the situation than helping themselves. Also, it's known that, you know, when someone has GERD for quite a substantial period of time, that they may have histamine-like reaction. You know, they might be sensitive to histamine-containing foods. For instance, you know, all these like red and bright foods like beetroot. Beetroot is a wonderful food, but, you know, it can be high in histamines. Even, you know, something like pomegranates, which are actually antacids, but they can have high histamines. So there can be certain foods which are high in histamines that could also result in worsening GERD. So it's important to identify foods which can act as a trigger for GERD. It may not be all the foods. It could be some foods, for instance, fried foods. Fatty foods, and also spicy foods, particularly, you know, if they are spicy, as in chili spicy, that can worsen GERD. Also, it's known that, you know, when someone has GERD for a long period of time, because it affects their quality of life, it will have affected their sleep, it will have affected their food choices, their ability to enjoy food. It also can result in a degree of anxiety or even depression. Very interestingly, many patients that I see with GERD often have some psycho-emotional features along with GERD, especially if it's been chronic. For instance, depression. But what is interesting is that, you know, depression is related to lack of serotonin or lack of proper concentration of serotonin. And that's why, you know, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are called SSRIs, are given in depression, which work well in most patients if it's the right antidepressants, and if it is given in the right dosage, and if the patient is taking it in the right manner. And that's because, you know, serotonin plays an important role in depression. But as I have been speaking about gut health in many of these episodes of Are You Well, gut happens to be a place where there is very high amounts of serotonin, almost like 400 times more serotonin than in the brain. So you can imagine, like, if you use the metaphor that if the gut is not happy because of acid reflux, because of poor gut microbial flora or bacterial infection, you can imagine that an unhappy gut will also not have sufficient amounts of serotonin. That's why, you know, 5-hydroxytryptophan, 5-HTP, which is naturally found in an African plant, Griffonia, and that's one of the most natural sources that is still used. And this 5-hydroxytryptophan, when it is acting in conjunction with vitamin B6 or pyridoxine 5-phosphate, will convert into serotonin, as tryptophan is the precursor to serotonin. And so many times in GERD, it's interesting that when my patients who have gone through different kinds of treatments, and some of them, they say when their doctors gave them an antidepressant like an SSRI, they felt really well. And it kind of, to me, explains that it is the relationship between, one, psycho-emotional factors contributing to acid reflux. Secondly, also it's the serotonin connection. And so in my practice, I encourage my patients to take 5-HTP, of course, after a very thorough consultation, looking at, you know, whether it's appropriate for them in GERD. But what's interesting is, you know, tryptophan-rich foods are generally nuts and seeds. So like macadamia nuts, Brazil nuts, cashews, and almonds and walnuts, and then pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. But very interestingly, if someone has GERD, then that using these high fat content nuts and seeds itself can trigger GERD. So that's a tricky situation. But that's not to say that, you know, if you have GERD and you do want to get the benefit of tryptophan to produce more serotonin, that you should avoid nuts and seeds. What I tell my patients is to soak these nuts. Because by soaking these nuts, and then by also removing the skin, particularly almond, if you actually just soak almond in boiled water, and then you remove the skin of almond, you can see how tough it is. One really needs to have very good amounts of enzymes to be able to, good gastric secretion or digestive juices to break through this tough covering of almonds. And, you know, if you don't soak your nuts and then you just have your nuts without soaking, then it becomes so difficult for the digestive system to actually act on it. And particularly if you have had digestive issues, then that, you know, it, in if anything, causes more stress than giving the benefits of what these nuts contain, which is they are rich in tryptophan. Generally, you know, if you can have these nuts and seeds which are soaked, and then you also crush them or you powder them, and then you mix them with something like oat milk or almond milk, and then you dilute it with some water, and then you cook it. And I generally also would suggest that add small amounts of spices like cardamom, or even a little bit of cinnamon, or maybe a pinch of nutmeg, and also a little bit of turmeric. And, you know, you can also always add a little bit of fresh ginger. Often the question would be, ginger is so spicy, will it trigger GERD? Interestingly, ginger, fresh ginger particularly, although is spicy, it can be very helpful in GERD because it has this anti-inflammatory properties. It can help in reducing inflammation, because of which, over a period of time, use of fresh ginger can be quite useful in GERD. As I also, you know, mentioned, that it is not just that there is an acid reflux issue. There can be bacterial infection, which could be associated with GERD, or there can be gut microbial issues, for instance, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And this is when, you know, sometimes the symptoms can be bad breath. And, you know, sometimes when those who have dentures, because the oral hygiene becomes difficult, that also can actually result in further affecting the musculature of the esophagus and the stomach, which results in GERD. So now let's look at what GERD itself is. So GERD, as I said, is gastroesophageal reflux disease. And this occurs when the stomach acid flows back into the esophagus. So if you can imagine, esophagus is the food pipe which starts in our throat, and then it is connected to the stomach, or the upper opening of the stomach. And this has two sphincters, and the upper sphincter and the lower sphincter. Of course, the upper sphincter is for the food to keep moving towards the stomach, and the lower sphincter opens when the food is being pushed from the food pipe into the stomach. And once it comes into the stomach, the lower sphincter closes. But when there is a problem with the closure of the lower esophageal sphincter, that's when the stomach starts to secrete the acids during the first stage of digestion. I mean, it is not the first stage of digestion, because basically digestion starts to happen in the mouth, because, you know, we have saliva. But, you know, let's say the first stage of digestion in the stomach, then the acid starts to be pushed back or regurgitated into the esophagus, which gives this heartburn. There can be many factors, you know, which could contribute towards one developing GERD, or this kind of weak musculature of the upper part of the stomach, particularly the lower sphincter of the esophagus. And as you can imagine, that obesity is one of the causes, because, you know, when one puts on excess amounts of weight, obviously all the musculature becomes weakened, and also the musculature of the viscera, the most important one also being stomach. So by losing weight, it is possible to manage GERD well, or even to some extent reverse GERD. So just don't think that you always have to take an over-the-counter antacid to manage with GERD, but if you have put on weight, then it is good actually to lose weight. What is very interesting is, you know, like when GERD becomes a chronic problem, it can also result in erosions and inflammation, which over a period of time can also cause ulcers, ulcers in the stomach, it can be ulcers in the intestine, and particularly when it is an ulcer in the stomach, you know, which are generally termed peptic ulcers. But when it is present in the stomach, it is gastric ulcer, gastrium meaning stomach. What is interesting is, because when someone has a gastric ulcer, the ulcer is sitting in the stomach on the wall, the mucosal layer. When you eat food, it irritates the ulcer, and therefore results in pain, nausea, and even vomiting sometimes. And it is the contact of the food which acts as an irritant on the ulcer, which results in the symptoms. So almost always, if someone has truly a gastric ulcer, then the symptoms are worse straight after eating. But if the ulcer is in the small intestine, usually the symptoms are an hour or a couple of hours after one has eaten, when the food has transited through the stomach into the small intestine.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
But often, you know, in gastric ulcer, interestingly, because it irritates the stomach lining, often by drinking milk, because, you know, milk is creamy, it's fatty, and by drinking cold milk particularly, it forms a lining over this ulcer, and then these individuals may be able to actually have food after they have had this milk or cold milk. But while cold milk can be a temporary solution to gastric ulcer, it is not the best idea to use it on a regular basis. Also, if the ulcer and symptoms are very severe, then that one might get used to drinking cold milk, which in itself will contribute to increased weight. Often, you know, like when I was doing my internship, like if we had to kind of differentiate between if someone has duodenal ulcer in the small intestine or gastric ulcer, which is in the stomach, one of the favorite questions of our professors would be, okay, how do you make out that someone may have had a chronic duodenal ulcer but not gastric ulcer? And of course, you know, the answer is that those who have chronic gastric ulcer, especially if they're using milk as a pacifier, then that they would have put on weight or they won't lose weight. Whereas in duodenal ulcer, because they really can't digest food well, they would have lost weight. So it is interesting to observe, you know, these factors. It's not just antacids, but we need to manage our weight as well. And also, what can be another condition which can result in GERD is hiatus hernia. Hiatal hernia is usually diagnosed if someone has hiatus hernia. So if you have hiatus hernia, you probably will already know if you have been examined by your doctor. And as we can imagine, anything which kind of disturbs the musculature and also the position of the stomach and the esophagus can also result in GERD. And one of the common situations where GERD can happen is during pregnancy because of the growing fetus, which grows from the pelvic area into the abdominal area and can result in GERD. And, you know, this is slightly different from the nausea that's felt during the first trimester. So one has to really also have a very good gut health even before one is planning for pregnancy in order to prevent these risk factors or complications. In some connective tissue disorders, you know, such as scleroderma, they can be GERD, and there may not be any of these conditions. Some individuals may just have delayed stomach emptying. Like when the food stays in the stomach for longer than it should, when the transit time is longer, then that also results in GERD. Therefore, the way we eat food is very important. From an Ayurvedic perspective, Ayurveda says that, you know, you must start eating your food with something which is naturally sweet. You know, Ayurveda is not suggesting that you eat something which is sugary. What it means is like whole grains, cooked whole grains, or nicely cooked vegetables, or maybe nicely cooked root vegetable. Now, when you start your food with something which is naturally sweet, then that it helps in pacifying or nullifying any excess acidity. And Ayurveda also says that in order to have a good digestion, you should never eat until you feel full. Like the Ayurvedic analogy is that, imagine that you're dividing your stomach into three parts and you're filling one third of your stomach with solids and another third with liquids or semi-solids, and the rest or one third is just left empty for the gastric secretions to act while the food is being churned in the stomach for digestion. But imagine if you eat to the fullest of your stomach capacity, then that also can result over a period of time in resulting in GERD and also in weakening the musculature within the stomach. So portion control can be a good way to manage GERD. So instead of having an entire plate, if you can have 3/4 of the plate or even half the plate, that can be a very good idea in managing GERD. Obviously, any of those lifestyle factors or other risk factors which can increase generally acid secretion within the stomach also can invariably contribute to GERD. What are they? Smoking. You know, smoking increases acid secretion and that can result in GERD, in ulcers, and you know, also it can result in making the stomach vulnerable for infections and can end up with the Helicobacter pylori. And particularly eating large meals at night or eating late at night. This is one of the reasons, you know, like often I know with my patients, you know, who follow most of the times very sensible, good diet. But if they have gone out and they are eating out and it happens to be a weekend and instead of eating at 6:30 or 7 in the evening, they eat at 9 or 9:30 and combined with alcohol, invariably during the night time will cause indigestion and GERD and upsets the sleep, and this can take a couple of days for them to recover. So even such simple things as making lifestyle changes, like okay, you decide that you're not going to eat after 8 p.m., then that can help in reducing the chances of GERD becoming triggered. There can be many trigger foods, particularly fatty foods and fried foods. That's why, you know, even if someone is not dairy intolerant or lactose intolerant or has any kind of sensitivity to dairy, if they reduce or even avoid dairy and dairy products, particularly these very heavy cheeses and milk, then that can reduce the occurrences of GERD. It's not that, you know, if you are not dairy intolerant that you must give up dairy for the rest of your life if you are having GERD, but then you may want to give up dairy for a certain period of time until your stomach's environment, your gut health functions have improved. For instance, milk, which is diluted with more water, and then you add about 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric to, let's say, a cup, which has, let's say, 1/2 cup of milk, 1/2 cup of water, and also you can add about 1/2 teaspoon of licorice powder, and then you cook this together, and you have this as a warm drink. It can help in GERD. It also can help in improving the environment within the stomach. But you must be very careful. If you are getting symptoms with even the slightest of milk, then definitely don't go there. Instead, you can use almond milk or oat milk. And it is this turmeric, which has a healing effect, and also licorice powder, which also has an ulcer healing effect or reducing inflammation or irritation, can help in GERD. But obviously, a word of caution, if you are using licorice powder, is if you have high blood pressure, it may not be a good idea to use licorice on a daily basis, because that is known to elevate one's blood pressure. But you can use, you know, licorice capsules. Particularly, you get deglycerinated licorice. I think it's not glycerinated licorice, because the botanical name of licorice is Glycyrrhiza glabra. So Glycyrrhiza glabra or licorice can be of value should you not be suffering from high blood pressure. But, you know, if you can get the DGL, which is a deglycerinated licorice, and if it is recommended by a health professional, you could use it for GERD and it might be quite useful. I also have found that, you know, these gourds, what I mean by God, G-O-U-R-D, okay? God, like bottle God, these may be some very new words for you. But, you know, if you go to an Asian shop, you can find all these kind of very unusual and nice vegetables, you know, which you don't usually get in supermarkets. Bottle gourd is like, it's kind of like, it's long and it's slightly rounded. It has an oval shape. It's kind of has got a green, you know, it's very easy. The moment you type bottle gourd on your internet, you will get the images and you can go and buy. And this bottle gourd and even ash gourd, which is quite commonly used in Indian cooking and also in Chinese cooking, and these ash gourd juice, bottle gourd juice, if you can get these juices and if you can have about 30 milliliters of this juice maybe in the morning at breakfast time, this also can have that healing effect on the esophagus and also the stomach, which can be quite helpful in GERD. And in fact, you know, sometimes certain beverages can actually trigger GERD. For instance, coffee and alcohol. You know, many of my patients, they say that they really like coffee, but they can't have coffee because that can trigger acidity or GERD. And I would say, you know, if your symptoms are not too severe, it's mild, it's occasional, and you still like coffee. I grew up drinking coffee, so it would be quite hypocritical for me to say to any of my patients or any of you to say that completely give up coffee, unless, you know, GERD is really very majorly triggered by caffeine or coffee. Now, is really an Ayurvedic trick for reducing the acid forming effect of coffee is really to add a little bit of cardamom. And as you may know, cardamom, although is a spice, it is warming, but it is not acid forming. So it really helps in reducing symptoms of acidity. So a little bit of cardamom with coffee, that's if you have very mild GERD. But if you do have moderate to severe GERD, please don't go and have coffee because that can really worsen the situation. And alcohol, some of my patients, they say that, you know, they can't particularly have certain kinds of alcohols, like let's say red wine. Even if they have about one or two glasses of red wine, then that can result in GERD. So it is important that you know which are your trigger foods and to avoid those trigger foods. Obviously, when you avoid your trigger foods and then you work on your gut health by consulting a professional or health professional who is experienced in treating digestive disorders or even gut health issues, then that you can reintroduce them. So this is where, you know, you do your elimination, but then you reintroduce them. And this is where the real challenge is. When you reintroduce a previously what was a trigger food and you don't get symptoms, even if you're having them continuously, that's when you know that actually the whole condition has been healed. So we also need to be quite careful about certain medications. For instance, aspirin is very commonly known to actually trigger GERD. So it's a combination of many things. And what did I not mention is stress. In fact, stress, because once we are having an exaggerated response to any kind of stressor, you know, like you may have come across that it may not be the cause or the strength of what is causing the stress, but it's the inability to handle stress. Have you not noticed sometimes when you're very overwhelmed, very tired, you haven't slept well, or you have been hungry, or you haven't eaten, or there's been some digestive disorders, that even the slightest of irritants will make you snap? And then you realize, oh, why did I have to snap for something which was so simple and perhaps silly even? But then stress has a very, very strong impact on digestive functions, and chronic stress would result in GERD. I mean, in fact, when I was doing my undergrad, one of my professor's favorite statements, like when we did the ward rounds or hospital rounds, grand rounds in the morning, was that, well, you know, if you see anybody with a chronic acid reflux or GERD as a condition, then that remember these three words: hurry, worry, and curry. You know, curry, as in, because, you know, curries have lots of spices. So spicy food and hurry, which is, you know, always being rushed and stressed, and worry. So you can see that, you know, being overly stressed and also worrying all the time and not being able to sleep will also result in GERD.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
In fact, just developing good sleep hygiene and improving the quality of sleep can hugely result in improvement in GERD. So there are many factors that we would need to consider, or we can consider, when it is acid reflux, not just like kind of neutralizing the acid through an over-the-counter antacid. So what other things can you do when you have GERD? Okay, one of the things is really to have regular meal timings. You know, many times I know that some of my patients who are very interested in intermittent fasting, and, you know, they embark upon the journey of intermittent fasting, but unfortunately, you know, if their digestive health is not that great, and if they particularly have acid reflux, then that it really worsens the situation because of skipping meals. So having smaller and three meals, I would say, although, you know, many practitioners and information that you find might be about have multiple times of small meals, but I would not encourage that. As such, for me, multiple times, to be honest, is about three times. And then, you know, on an average, eating twice daily for adults. I'm not talking about, you know, those who are elderly, those who have certain health conditions like diabetes, where they need to eat more frequently. But for most of the adults, average, you know, with not major illnesses, eating twice is a good practice. But then if there is acid reflux, then make it thrice and have regular meals. And also to make sure that, you know, you use certain healing spices. Healing spices as in mint or, you know, herbs, you know, spices and herbs, obviously. Coriander, you know, fresh coriander, and also dry coriander or coriander seed powder, and even cumin can actually help, but one has to be very careful. I've known that among some of my patients, it is cumin which can actually trigger GERD. So you would need to maintain a log of your food and response to those foods, and when you do this over a period of 7 days and then you evaluate it, and then you kind of connect the dots, then you might be able to see a very strong connection between certain foods and your symptoms. And this is where you would need to be careful that, although, you know, when you go on the internet, it says that, yeah, you can have different kinds of spices. I mean, not chili, of course, but, you know, cumin and mint and coriander and ginger, you would have to identify if those particular spices actually trigger your GERD. But something that I have found which does not generally trigger GERD, you know, you can never say this is 100% always correct, is fresh ginger. Particularly, you know, not too much, you know, just about few slithers of fresh ginger which is added to boiled water. And when it becomes boiled and slightly cooled or room temperature, and then you sip this, the oils and the phytoconstituents in this fresh ginger mixed with this water actually can help in reducing inflammation and reducing acidity. Of course, I'm saying that, you know, you can do all these home remedies, but you also would need to consult a health professional before you start to use this for a long period of time, especially, you know, if it doesn't have a marked positive effect, then it is time that you go and see your doctor or practitioner, because sometimes you will also be surprised that if someone has had acid reflux and it's gone on for several months, and especially in younger people, and that even they might have had vomiting. And usually what happens is if infection, inflammation, and irritation, which is chronic, which is particularly in the area of the stomach, if it is not treated, there are certain areas of the stomach which can become prone to cancer, or they can be precancerous growth. So therefore, diagnosis is equally important. Of course, you know, nowadays the diagnosis, when especially if GERD is chronic, then with endoscopy can give very good idea about what actually structurally is happening. But what is interesting is maybe there may not be any major structural issues at all. It could be a functional disturbance too. And the functional disturbance, you know, like some research studies, they suggest that in H. pylori positive patients, especially those with duodenal ulcer, which is in the small intestine, they'll have reduced stored histamine because of increased histamine liberation. And then they would be very prone to histamine-containing foods. And also, there are studies which suggest that, you know, certain gut bacteria, they can convert histidine in food to histamine via a HDC enzyme production. And so, histamine or histidine-containing foods, they become histamines, and then that can also result in acid reflux. And numerous bacteria in food have been shown to display high HDC activity, and therefore they have a tendency to contribute to acid reflux. So do go and look for high histamine containing foods and try and see. Maybe it is not just your usual high fatty foods. Maybe it is not just the fried foods, but it could be high histamine containing foods which may also be contributing to acid reflux. So what are these, you know, common high histamine containing foods? They are all fermented foods. For instance, you know, if you are somebody who really likes pickled onion, pickled gherkins, pickled eggs, and fermented foods, and also yogurt, you know, sauerkraut, you know, while fermented foods are really helpful for gut microbiome, but if you have histaminic reaction or intolerance, then that the very helpful foods, fermented foods, can actually worsen the condition. That's when you need to go on an elimination diet. Also, dried fruits, they are high in histamines. And, you know, what we think as a superfood, avocados, they are high in histamines. I'm not saying that you must avoid avocados, but, you know, if GERD is really a serious problem, I mean, it's also high in fat, although it's you know, plant-based fat, which is excellent, then it would be good to go off some of these. And eggplant, you know, aubergine. I mean, in general, I would say whenever there is a gut health issue, particularly if there's inflammation and acid, then it would be good to go off all the nightshades. And the nightshades, they are from a family called Solanaceae. I mean, in fact, even black pepper is from Solanaceae. Chilies are, but in small quantities, they're excellent because they have this antibacterial properties. But, you know, when you use them as vegetables, for instance, potatoes, then aubergines or eggplants, and also peppers, you know, bell peppers. And tomatoes, these are nightshades. I mean, in fact, a very traditional Ayurvedic suggestion, if I were to go to a traditional Ayurvedic practitioner, say, in India, and I would say, I really want to overcome acid reflux through food, the very first suggestion by a traditional Ayurvedic practitioner would be, for the rest of your life, give up tomatoes. I actually know of some people who have given up tomatoes for the rest of their life and they have fantastic digestion. But if you ask me, I'm somebody who I don't think would be able to give up tomatoes for the rest of my life, especially when you get such nice, good tomatoes, you know, like in Spain or Italy, all these amazing different kinds of tomatoes. But what you can do is really to reduce the acid forming effect of tomato is to remove the skin and the seeds. And how do you do that? Again, you put tomatoes in boiled water and it's very easy to peel the skin off, and also, you know, core the center so that you actually are not getting the seeds. And some say that, you know, for them, it's the raw tomatoes which worsens their acid reflux, but others say that it is cooked tomatoes which worsens acid reflux. But you need to really kind of go and see which ones worsens your acid reflux and then reduce or avoid tomatoes for a certain period of time. While we think spinach is a very healthy food, of course, you know, in my diet, I almost eat spinach every day. Spinach, broccoli, every day almost. Yes, they are fantastic foods, but spinach again, you know, it is high in histamines. Also, spinach is high in oxalates. So I would say it is good really to boil spinach with a lot of water and then throw away the water and use that spinach. And that can be helpful. But if really you have histamine sensitivity and causing GERD, then that spinach may be one of the vegetables that you may have to be careful with. And of course, processed and smoked meats, they are notorious for increasing acidity. And sometimes shellfish, I mean, in fact, many of my patients, you know, who have GERD would be very, very cautious about shellfish. And aged cheeses, although, you know, these cheeses are fantastic and tasty, but they can actually trigger GERD because of their high histamines. And of course, you know, there are very common foods, you know, which have high histamines and also which can increase acidity. For instance, alcohol. You know, what is interesting is that, you know, we might think that banana is something which can help with acidity, but if you have histaminic tendencies or histaminic reaction, then bananas are also high in histamines and they can actually trigger histaminic activity. Similarly, you know, beans and chocolate and citrus fruits and nuts, particularly cashews, walnuts and peanuts in particular. And also many of the food colorings or food dyes, they also have high histamines. So it is important not only to look at spices and fried foods and fatty foods, but also histamine-containing foods to ensure that you are not worsening your GERD. But what about apple cider vinegar? You know, this is a very common question that I get asked, because apple cider vinegar is really beneficial for gut health, but then can I have apple cider vinegar? I would say, you know, if your symptoms are not severe, then it is actually a good idea to have some apple cider vinegar. I generally suggest to have about 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar along with some warm water before breakfast. But obviously, I've found that in some patients, this works wonders, but in others, the very intake of apple cider vinegar actually triggers the GERD. So there is no single answer for what everybody should be taking. It is highly individualized. You need to understand your own particular condition. And it is also important to have certain minerals which will help in reducing GERD and also in help repairing the environment within the stomach and esophagus, which are the magnesium, zinc. Now, zinc, particularly zinc carnosine, is something which in some of my patients has been helping, and they say it's been one of the wonderful minerals that they have ever taken for GERD or acid reflux, because zinc carnosine does help in reducing acidity. And I generally also encourage my patients to use broad spectrum natural antimicrobials like berberine, and I always would suggest a good quality probiotic in order to help with changing the gut health. And as I said before, I would focus on 5-HTP and sometimes even melatonin, or giving them some herbs like Brahmi, which really help in calming the nervous system. So you can have herbs such as alfalfa, which is a very good source of vitamin K. You can have aloe vera, which is very cooling. It also forms that kind of nice soothing layer, which can help in acidity. So there are many factors that we need to consider when it comes to GERD or acid reflux. And it is not just a very simple matter of taking antacids day in and day out, but there are many other lifestyle and nutritional factors and managing stress which can actually help us in not only managing, in many times, you know, it can also reverse GERD. I hope, you know, this has been helpful, and I look forward to talking to you all on the next episode of Are You Well for UK Health Radio. Thank you. Sukhinaha.